banning tape.
He's probably working on an ordinance to ban something.
Yeah, he's banning the tape. Hey, Councilor Liberty.
Hey. Robert.
Ah, very nice.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard? Saltzman?
Here.
Sten? Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Agenda item 667, create a local improvement district to construct street and bridge improvements from the Columbia Slough to Alderwood Road in the Northeast 92nd Drive Local Improvement District.
Andrew?
Thank you, Mayor Potter. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. Carla, I'm just going to run through a brief PowerPoint presentation. I just wanted to quickly recap where we were the last time on the LID, actually where we started with the LID and where we are now. When we originally brought the LID formation ordinance for council consideration, we had a trip volume assessment methodology with a consistent rate per trip of $235.57 per assessable trip for all properties within the LID. We came back a month later on March 28th, and there was a proposal to substitute a square footage assessment methodology for the trip volume methodology. When we returned on May 9th, there was a remonstrance filed against the square footage assessment methodology that would have defeated council jurisdiction to form the LID. Council reinstated the trip volume methodology on May 9th, but also introduced a split rate trip assessment formula where developing properties as of January 1st, 2007 would be assessed an estimated assessment rate of $270.90 per trip, and non-developing properties, the remaining properties, would have an estimated assessment rate of $207.55 per assessable trip. So it worked out to a 15% premium for developing properties and 11% reduction for non-developing properties. Mr. Phillips, counsel to International Paper, was kind enough to copy me on a proposal that he made to the port on May 24th following the May 9th hearing. And his proposal was to increase the premium for the developing properties more than 15%, the effect of which would have been to increase the per-trip assessable rate to $340.70 and to then reduce the trip rate for other properties to $152.20 per property that was not developing. I would note that this amendment was proposed to the Port of Portland. It was not proposed to me or to other city staff per se. The amount of the increase, had the Port accepted this proposal, would have increased the premium from $128,000 overall to the Port, would have increased it to $381,000 to the Port, for pretty close to a tripling of what the proposed increase was. And I did receive a copy of a response from the Port of Portland on June 1st indicating that the Port would not be supportive of that approach. I'll hand out for you, council members, a copy of both the presentation I'm giving you right now as well as a copy of the letter to the Port. I should say letter from the Port. So just in terms of comparing the remonstrances are due 1 week before the council hearing by city code. Most of the remonstrances that were originally submitted were resubmitted again despite the premium that was introduced. So in terms of when we measure the remonstrances based on estimated cost, the remonstrance level decreased from about 31% down to 23%. In terms of measuring up by area, which is actually what charter goes by in terms of determining whether council loses jurisdiction to form the LID, you can see that we're well below that threshold by charter. So therefore, council retains jurisdiction to either form or not form the LID. This is a map of the remonstrances that were received since the last council hearing and which were received by the deadline. And then moving on, this is my final slide here, but if we simply analyze all of the cumulative remonstrances, the only remonstrance that's been formally withdrawn and the only remonstrance that's being counted as withdrawn is the port remonstrance that was withdrawn at the last council hearing. So in terms of measuring the cumulative remonstrance level, it's 29% of the estimated cost, 17% of the total area, and 18.1% of the assessable area. So by any one of those three measures, it's just under half the 60% threshold specified by city charter. And then one piece of information I wanted to provide for council in terms of ultimately making its decision is if you look at the remonstrances and take a look at what the sample financing cost would be based on today's rates, which are subject to change. Among the remonstrating properties, the single property financing cost per month over 20 years would range from about $28 a month to $1,052. Some of the remonstrating property owners have multiple properties, so if you look at that effect on their combined estimated assessment, that ranges from about $169 per month at the low end to about $1684 a month on the high end. So in conclusion, council retains jurisdiction over LID formation. The staff recommendation is to pass the ordinance to a second reading 1 week from today on June 13th, and also to approve the ordinance on June 13th. Having said that, council certainly has the prerogative to further amend the ordinance should it wish to. So what I would like to simply provide for council are the package of amendment today. We can consider those after the testimony, but what the amendments would do is to incorporate the most recent round of remonstrances and would also clarify the findings of special benefit. Some of the findings of special benefit in the ordinance as it stands today refer to the original finding of special benefit without that split rate assessment methodology, and what the amendment does is to ensure that all the references incorporate the financial relief to the non-developing properties. So I'll pass that amendment out now, but we'll come back for a couple housekeeping items after we take the property owner testimony. Any questions from council?
Carly, could you call the, how many folks have signed up?
Nine people signed up.
Okay.
The first three are Terry Oftedal, John Tesler, and John Hoagland. They'll be followed by Dean Phillips, Todd Thompson, and Sini Apostoli.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Terry Oftedal. I'm the Director of Operations from Yocream International. We are in the 92nd LID District. I would just like to testify that Yocream finds acceptable this assessment methodology adopted on May 9th by the council, and we remain firmly committed behind this project and want to see it happen for all the reasons we've stated before. Basically, life safety for giving us a second egress, improved options for in and out trucks and for our personnel commuting. And we'd like to see it moving forward. I'd like to say that I'm not the only one on our street, 87th Avenue, that has this feeling. Other people that aren't here today have also told me that they're in support. So I just want to mention that there are others who could testify if needed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor and Commissioners, John Tesler, Controller, Ventura Foods. Excuse me. Ventura Foods has filed a remonstrance against the LID improvement. Some of the objections are that this improvement will not provide any special benefit to our company or our property as it is stated. I think that it might the improvement, if it is finished and done, that it would provide a much broader area, and maybe that it needs to be expanded to a larger area in this LID. Another point is we believe the city trip methodology is not fair or accurate for the following reasons. It does not result in a reasonable apportionment of the proposed assessments. There is no evidence showing that the methodology is based on a special benefit to the properties within the district, and the trip volume compares floor to area ratio as projected on undeveloped parcels, which results in an unreasonable allocation of cost between both the undeveloped properties and the developed properties. Another thing that the LID would adversely affect our business, increase traffic, so that is would not be a benefit. And businesses are, it's tough doing business in the city of Portland, so we'd like to see a fairer allocation on this cost. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Mayor, council members, I'm John Hoagland, president of Aerocraft North. Just like to speak once more to say that we have, again, filed a remonstrance. We, too, see no special benefit to our company at all. We believe that the increased traffic on 92nd, were the LID to go through, would negatively impact our business. I may be possibly the smallest business represented, and so as a Portland small business, I would just appeal that the financial impact on us will be significant. I also agree that the assessment methodology being used in this case is both very rare and puts an undue burden on the pre-existing owners. I won't go into the detail. You guys are aware of how it's done. But I do believe that the methodology, the square footage methodology that we came back with as our original amendment, is both much more typical and much more fair. And I would ask you guys to consider the proposal that was given to the port as another potentially viable option. I believe our council representing the Southside businesses will get into more detail on that. I'd like to see the costs shifted to where the desire for the LID is, and I don't believe that's on the bulk of the Southside business owners. I would much rather see the project not go through at all. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we are Dean Phillips, Todd Thompson, and Sini Apostle.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. Dean Phillips appearing on behalf of International Paper, and I'm sure we've worn out our welcome by this time, but we still do have some issues with this LID. First of all, I would like to say that Mr. Abbey has worked diligently to try and resolve this matter, although at the last hearing, the proposal that was clearly negotiated between the city and the port did not involve our participation. We did not have an opportunity to participate in those discussions, and because of that, we attempted to get a settlement conference. Mr. Abbey did arrange that with the port, and while the port continues to take the position that they are not really one of the forming entities on this LID. It's clear that this LID is for the benefit of the port and will benefit them more than the southern property owners. For that reason, we have remonstrated. What we are asking today is one more opportunity to try and have the council take a look at this. And what we proposed was an essentially split the baby proposal between the $655,000 that we had originally proposed on the basis of the square footage proposal to be shifted to the northern property owners. Largely that is the port, and that's why we've been dealing with the port. versus the 128,000 that the modified trip volume methodology with the multiplier had shifted to the port. If you look at the difference between that, the dollars that we were looking at is $653,000 in what we had proposed. And we believe that we would resolve this issue and get everybody in support of the LID if we could reach that. Unfortunately, the port was not willing to go that further distance. And so here we are today. We're asking the council to consider our revised methodology, what it is. For purposes of settlement, we've agreed to continue with the trip methodology with just a heavier multiplier for the undeveloped parcels. Once again, it's very clear from the map that we have submitted with our letter. Our letter is dated today. I believe all the councilors have a copy. It's very clear that on the north side, the large part of the improvements are to improve the streets on the north side of the slough. The black, the highlighted area in black is on the north side of the slough. That is really where all the benefit is going for these improvements is on the north side of the slough. So we would ask for a fairer allocation of the assessment. And obviously the hope is that we can resolve it through this revised assessment rather than continue the controversy. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sini Apostle. I'm with GVA Kidder Matthews. I'm a third-party property manager representing the Realty Associates Fund in Golson. We represent the second largest landowner in the southern area, have one of the largest impacts financially. The first thing I think that's clear to all of us is that this LID improvement would not be happening if the development on the port property were not is not happening so soon. The push for this has been the development of the north side, no push on the south side whatsoever, with properties like ours that have been in place since 1979 who have no impact, no benefit by this improvement. The other thing is I'd like to address some of the things that Andrew addressed. He talked about the ratios and the number of our representation of 29% and 16%. He didn't talk about the financial impact to the southern side, which is close to 50% of this entire assessment. He talked about the split the baby method that Dean referenced as a 298% increase to the port. He didn't talk about that. Between the square footage approach that we feel is a fair and commonly used approach to this new approach, the increase to my client is 320%. So yeah, 298 sounds bad, but 320 is even worse to us. So, you know, if you want to throw statistics and numbers out there, we can all make it look however we want by selectively choosing what numbers to represent. The bottom line is that the port supports this. The port has pushed it through. The port's been very unwilling to work with us despite many efforts on a joint group to accommodate a equitable compromise. And they are going to reap the rewards. They have the special benefit. We have none. The $1,684 a month assessment, that's to my property. It's 18 cents a square foot increase in cost to my tenants. That's lost profitability to my client by 18 cents a square foot. That's a big deal. And when you're a 1979 property competing with brand new development, 18 cents is huge. So I ask you to look at who's getting the special benefit and look at what is fair to assess, because I do not believe the absorption of 50% of the cost by the southern property owners is fair. Thank you for your time.
My name's Todd Thompson, and I'm the general manager for the Portland operations of International Paper. This is my fourth time before City Council, along with the other business owners, to oppose or reach a fair allocation method regarding 92nd LID. Needless to say, the last hearing on this subject approved a methodology that was not discussed in the spirit of cooperation by the city, the port, and the affected property owners, and we feel it is unfair. Since that hearing, we have tried to engage with the city and the port to propose a further compromise, which the South Slough property owners actually reluctantly support.
Unfortunately, we have been rejected and cut out of the process that City Council encouraged us to engage in from the beginning of this LID. To restate our position, there is no special benefit in terms of freight movement for International Paper with this extension of 92nd Drive to Alderwood. The increased traffic volume will actually hinder our business delivery system and mobility and create excessive additional traffic. It will reduce our productivity and our efficiency. Although we are still opposed to the LID, regardless of cost, International Paper has been willing to compromise and support the LID on the basis of the City of Portland's prior approved modified square footage methodology on March 28th. Not only was this assessment method more fair, but it doesn't have the flawed assumptions that plagued the trip volume methodology. Additionally, in the spirit of cooperation, we approached the city and the port trying to at least achieve a middle ground dollar-wise or financially between the two methods. However, the port has decided to not act as partners and wants to follow the trip methodology that we have argued against from the beginning. The port has continually said that they have enough access points and are just willing to go along for the benefit of the community. However, only Yocream has come before the council looking to pass this LID through. We have regularly had 8 to 10 other companies disputing this project and remonstrating. This majority of the South Slough business owners has continually stated that the project has no benefit and is in fact a hindrance. The port says they are doing this for our benefit, yet we don't want it. Who do you think you should believe here? Obviously, there is indeed great special benefit for the port, and they favor this methodology because they are paying a greatly discounted rate to get it. Approving this LID with the trip methodology proposed does exactly that for them, while harming the majority of the other small to medium businesses. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
The last three are Gary Spector, Lise Glancy, and Tanya Fondren.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Gary Spector. I am the owner of the property Spector Wilson Properties. This is my first visit to the council. My attorney, Tim Parks, was here. I couldn't make it to the other meetings, but this time I was able to be here, and I wanted to lend support to the owners on the south side. I really couldn't do a better job than those who have spoken already in stating our case, but just to summarize, we feel that we are being unfairly charged for something that we really neither want nor need. And in addition to that, assuming that we are willing to compromise and participate, the method of assessment is unfairly weighted on those who don't get the bulk of the benefit. And so I just want to lend my support to our group, and thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Hello again. I'm Tanya Fondren with National Storage Center. We're on Marks Drive, the very end of the road on Marks Drive, and the furthest, by the way, away from 92nd. We do not feel that there's any benefit to our company whatsoever having this project completed. And pretty much to reiterate what everyone else has said against this plan, we see no benefit. The costs certainly outweigh whatever minor benefit could be there. And we're a small business. We don't bring in a whole lot of money, so this is adding 2% to the valuation of our property. So we did agree with the square footage, again, in the spirit of fairness. And we would go along with splitting the baby, so to speak, but we're absolutely not in agreement with the system as it stands with the port and that the port and city put together. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Ms. Glancy from the Port of Portland, and I know we've worn out our welcome. As stated in previous comments to council, we did not propose or push for the LID. It wasn't designed to benefit our properties. It was designed to provide secondary emergency access to the South of Slough property owners. Nonetheless, the port has supported the LID methodology as proposed in its third iteration. We are more than willing to pay our fair share, but it must be a fair share reflecting the special benefit of the improvement. And I see in some of the remonstrances that we've been accused of being not community-minded or showing bad faith, and I would just say that nothing could be further from the truth. We met twice with the South of the Slough property owners. The first meeting, their stated goal was to shift much of the cost to the port. At the second meeting, it was proposed to renegotiate a higher assessment for the port from the approved the methodology approved by City Council on May 9th. It was a tripling of basically the trip assessment, and we declined to accept that. So I don't think we're operating in bad faith. We have met with them, had several telephone calls and emails back and forth. On the push for the LID from the north side, I think we need to be clear that initially when this project first came out at a much higher price tag, the port approved, opposed the LID. We only signed on to the LID after the city had gone through extensive value engineering. The port has a lot of experience in road improvements. They're expensive. North Marine Drive started a $6 million project in 1999 and escalated to a $24 million project over 8 years. We can argue about how to slice the pie for years, but frankly, from the port's perspective, we'd rather slice a $2.4 million pie, which reflects a $1.5 million value engineering savings, than slice a much bigger pie. And I think we could delay this, certainly, and I think that's been suggested, but I think the South of the Slough property owners and others, including the port, paying the lion's share, are going to just see a bigger price tag. And so I urge council to proceed with the LID.
Thank you, folks. Discussion. This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. So is there further discussion?
Is it possible to table an LID?
Andrew Abbey, LID Administrator. Commissioner Salzman, what do you mean by table the LID?
Kill it?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'd like to do. I don't, you know, with the exception of the gentleman from Yocream, and I appreciate your points of view, I don't see anybody else who really wants this. So I'd say just kill it. That's my...
My only suggestion, Commissioner, was just to move it to a second reading, and then if it's your ultimate decision to kill it, you can certainly do that at the second reading next week if you so choose.
That was my suggestion as well, that let's vote on it next week.
And so
move it forward or not move it forward, but let's vote on it.
So the proposal is to do two things. One is to adopt the amendment. And that would be the first motion. If a member of council wanted to move that motion, then the second motion would be to overrule the remonstrances to preserve council's ability to make a decision next week.
But we have to do that now?
Yes.
So I move the amendment.
One amendment or two amendments?
Well, this is the first amendment to adopt the package of amendments that's before you.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded.
Further discussion? Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
And then the second motion would be to overrule the remonstrances and then pass this to a second reading next week.
Is that a motion or we just do it?
He makes a motion.
It's a request.
So moved.
Second. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I guess I've signaled my intent next week, but I'm willing to get it there. Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
So at the second reading, as it will be on the...
Means we vote next week.
At the second reading on the 13th, where we vote, that'll be on the 13th, and it will only be a vote. There will be no additional testimony.
Correct, and it'll be on the morning session's regular agenda.
And so it'll be, you folks can see what time it'll appear on the regular agenda. Okay. Please call the next item. 2:30, time certain.
Item 668, adopt the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project Refinement Study.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased today to have this on the council agenda. It's a significant step forward in our efforts to connect the great city of Milwaukee to through Southeast Portland to downtown. And a key partner on this project has been Metro, and a key advocate at Metro has been the very wonderful Councillor Robert Liberty, who is here today to give us some introductory remarks before we, along with Steve Awada from Portland Office of Transportation, always just in time, before we actually vote on the item. So, Councillor Liberty.
Thank you for the kind introduction. I'm Robert Liberty. I serve on the Metro Council. I represent most of Southeast Portland, part of Southwest Portland, and the part of Southwest Portland through which this project will pass. Metro is a lead agency on the Supplemental Draft Environmental Impact Statement and is glad to have the City of Portland, TriMet, and many others as partners in this effort because it's really, this project represents a set of opportunities that are important for our region. One is to connect up three very important institutions, two that have as a central part of their mission science education, Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and Oregon Health and Science University. And two of those institutions, those two institutions are both going through a master planning process now. So the design and construction of this project is, I think, very important to their success as regional institutions. And of course, I'll also connect it with the state's largest public university, Portland State University. It's also a part of the Central City Streetcar Circulator Project because the bridge for this project will also carry the streetcar. And that streetcar circulator, by having that connection, will carry a lot more traffic through downtown and to the east side, connecting as well OMSI up the east side and these other institutions, OHSU and Portland State University. We know from research that it'll be essential to build that bridge to serve both projects for the success, obviously, of the streetcar as well as Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail. And then, of course, this is a project that neighborhoods in Southeast Portland have been seeking for a long time. Throughout the region, there's occasional resistance. Of course, that's decreasing now to light rail, but these neighborhoods are ones that wanted light rail, wanted it sooner, wanted it years ago. And moving forward with the draft environmental impact statement will bring the reality much closer. It'll be important for the continued vitality of those neighborhoods. Finally, as Commissioner Adams alluded in his opening comments, this is very important in Milwaukee. And my colleague, Brian Newman, is not here today. He's been a champion of this project. And I think you know that Milwaukee downtown has been experiencing a renaissance, and this is a way of continuing that renaissance. And having success with the development of town centers around the region is a way of also building up and completing our vision for the future of the region, the 2040 growth concept. So those are four opportunities not to be missed, why we need to go forward with the project. Thank you for the opportunity to offer these remarks.
Thank you, Councillor. Steve, do you want to give the council an overview of what we're talking about here and what this action means and doesn't mean?
Yes, please. Have a short PowerPoint presentation.
It's only an hour long.
Good afternoon. I am Stephen Iwata with the Portland Office of Transportation, and I'm here to discuss the resolution here before you this afternoon regarding the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland to Light Rail Project. Councillor Liberty provided a great overview of the process and the project. And the purpose here today is that Metro is to starting the Supplemental Draft Environmental Impact Statement. The original EIS was completed in 1998 and was endorsed by the City Council at that time. But since it's been since 1998, Metro's restarting the effort, and the first step is this refinement study that we're asking the council to adopt. And just kind of quick overview in terms of this process. Metro started this process in the early fall of last year, October 2006, and they're now completing this effort. And they're defining the options that will be studied for the EIS, and the draft environmental impact statement should be completed by spring of next year, 2008, with a new locally preferred alternative decision by July, and we'll be back to City Council. So in many ways for today, we're just trying to give the City Council a heads up as to what we're going to be processing over the next year or so, what options we're going to study and what are the issues. And there are some many complex issues that impact the city that could result in some changes to the comprehensive plan. So we just wanted to provide that heads up today. At the end of the supplemental draft EIS and the option of the LPA will be the next phase, which is preliminary engineering and the final environmental impact statement. At that point, TriMet will be the project manager, and it's anticipated that it will be completed by the summer of 2009. And that's a key benchmark for the city as well, and as part of that effort, a financial plan will need to be developed and adopted as well for funding this project. And then once that's in place, they'll proceed to final engineering, and that should be completed in about summer of 2011. So in terms of the history of this project, this is, it's for me personally, almost a 20-year effort. I've been involved in the McLaughlin Corridor since the early 80s. And some key benchmarks was 1986. The council adopted an ODOT project for the McLaughlin Boulevard project that it called for some improvements to the highway, which resulted in the improvements at the Tacoma overpass, as well as the improvements in Milwaukee at the 224 interchange. But it also identified the need for light rail improvements in this corridor. And a key element of that is to preserve the quality of McLaughlin, where the trees lined the street, and it was recognized that in order to preserve that quality, light rail transit was a key element of the corridor strategy. In 1993, Metro started system planning that resulted in looking at alternatives and resulted in a draft environmental impact statement, as I stated before, in 1998, and an LPA decision. Unfortunately, in 1998, there were two funding measures that were defeated, and the outcome of that was a more incremental approach, where we started with the Interstate Max and completed the EIS for that in 1999 and proceeded with construction, and that service opened up in 2004. And then after that, also the South Corridor Phase 1 from Mall 205, I-205, and the Portland Mall was completed, and we came to council with the endorsement of that idea of a Phase 1 and a Phase 2, and that was a resolution back in 2002. So basically for the Milwaukee Corridor, there isn't major changes in most of Southeast Portland. And so the real focus of this effort on the part of the city of Portland is the river crossing. Some quick policy overviews. The Central City Plan calls for the Central City to be the heart of the economy for the metro area, and that light rail transit is the link to the surrounding communities and to our neighborhoods, and also called for a trolley system that linked all the Central City area. So we have the rail system, but most importantly now, we have the streetcar concept with the idea that the streetcar would use the light rail bridge to connect the east side and the west side. As part of the transportation system plan the council adopted, identified that transit should be the preferred form of travel to major destinations, including the Central City. The Markham Hill plan that was adopted in 2002 supported the idea of tram that would link the Markham Hill with North McAdam and linkage to the regional transit system. The South Waterfront plan also supported a multimodal transportation system and calls for a 30% mode split for all trips to and out of the South Waterfront, and 40% of the work trips by 2019. And recently, at the end of 2006, the council adopted the Century Side Industrial Zoning Study that increased the potential for industrial office within the Central City Central East Side and potentially for more jobs within that district, and transit will play an important role of providing access to those jobs. And so where we are right now is that we've completed a refinement study, and Metro identified a series of options. The red line here is the adopted alignment that was adopted in 2003 that connects the Portland Mall that's under construction, comes down Lincoln, down River Place, and across the river to OMSI and along the Union Pacific Mainline Railroad. The options that were developed were what's called Meade and Crothers that would connect basically the middle of the campus of Oregon Health Science Center to OMSI on the east side, and Porter and Division on the east side. And they also had an option along the Ross Island Bridge that went either down to river to South Waterfront or went over the district, as well as an option that went over the district on NATO Parkway.
Can I ask about that? Are those just we're going to choose one of those options? You're not planning
For today? We're
all four.
Well, for today we're going to be looking. I'll get to that. I'll respond to that question in a couple slides. So some key changes have occurred since 1998, and a principal on the west side is the ownership of property by Oregon Health Science Center, including the donation of the 19 acres that they're planning for their new campus. And this is their proposed concept at this point in time. And the idea, a major change is the tram that will be connecting the hill with the South Waterfront area.
What is that on the right?
Looks like
well, I found some, this was something I found on the Google. Was
it said Bob right, Miller?
Yeah,
it says ride the tram.
Come ride the tram, Bob Miller in the mornings.
Yep.
Pill Hill Aerial Rapid Transit. Oh. Yep. How nice for him.
Yep. also, key elements regarding the light rail decision is not just the connection to tram, but also the connection to the streetcar. And the potential for buses to use the light rail bridge as well. So this is one of the key issues on the South Waterfront side is that we have an adopted street plan and from that's on the right, and that street plan did not factor in light rail south of the Markham Bridge or the streetcar coming over from the Century side. And so the current proposal by Oregon Health Science Center is not consistent with that street plan. So what we're looking at is potentially a change to that street plan to accommodate the campus planning by Oregon Health Science Center, but also the introduction of light rail transit from the east side, which will include streetcar, pedestrian bikes, and potentially buses coming over the bridge. On the east side, there are some issues as well. So OMSI has just bought the property 6 acres to the south of them, the old Station L site. And they're also going through a master planning process. And they've approached PDOT to request a potential permanent realignment of Water Avenue. The BES did a temporary reroute of Water Avenue for the Eastside CSO project. And they think that works better overall for the district. And so they've asked us to kind of coordinate an examination of realignment of that street in conjunction with the light rail project and with the streetcar and as well as circulation access issues in the district. Portland Opera has bought the old KPTV site, and they have the property just behind it as a surface lot, and they're also thinking about development plans for their property as well. And a major issue for us would be Portland Spirit that has property along the river that could be impacted by the river crossing, as well as Oregon Pacific Railroad that will require some kind of light rail crossing of their tracks. So both, like I said, light rail and buses will be part of the analysis, as well as for this area, traffic analysis with the potential realignment of Water Avenue. So where we are right now, Commissioner Leonard, is we're looking at defining the options for the supplemental draft EIS. So one option will be for sure will be the adopted alignment from 2003, the LPA. But because of the complex issues on both sides of the river, we're looking at a ban that is roughly on the west side, Meade, over to Sherman Street on the east side, and on as the northern boundary, and at the southern boundary, roughly Porter to Division, and as looking at a range of potential options that could fit within that ban. So how does a light rail bridge best interact with the master planning by Oregon Health Science Center, but also the future development plans by Zidell? And the same is true on the east side. How will light rail best fit the master planning for OMSI, as well as some of the development plans for Portland Opera, as well as the other property in that area? We're recommending that we eliminate the Ross Island Bridge option and the NATO Parkway options that are basically into the South Portland neighborhood area.
My question was, you're only talking about one connection. You're just looking at different options.
Looking at, yeah, several. Well, we're looking at a range of options that could.
Only going to build one bridge, right?
Well, just
all,
one
that's
bridge.
That's all I'm asking is, oh. Are you building one or four bridges?
Oh, just one bridge.
Thank
sorry.
You.
Just
Thank
one
you.
Bridge.
Thank
sorry.
You.
And so part of the resolution is a series of directives back to staff that we work in collaboration with our key stakeholders, including Metro and TriMet, and also with the property owners in that district, that we look at a process in integrating light rail, streetcar, buses, bikes, and pedestrian facilities with the development plans with Oregon Health Science Center and Zidell. Which could include a change to the South Waterfront Street Plan, which is part of the TSP, and as a result is part of the comprehensive plan. So that would be a potential comp plan change if we do that. We also is a directive to work with OMSI as well as the other property owners to look at the feasibility of realignment of Water Avenue as well as the light rail connections. So this is kind of a very simple graphic, but just kind of where we are. In summary, that we started with Metro with a series of crossings, and the idea is to focus in terms of defining the options for the SDIS. And so where we are right now is this ban on the south of the Markham Bridge. By July, we will have a definition of the ban for the EIS, with the idea that we'll have some flexibility of mix and matching in that band. And by a year from now, we'll have a recommended single light rail bridge option before City Council. And then it's a kind of a thick line that there's still some analysis that will have to be done. And by the end of preliminary engineering, we would have design specifics of the bridge crossing, the cost in preparation for the financial plan. So that's a quick summary overview, and any questions?
So by the time the LPA will include then the specific choice,
yes.
The locally preferred alternative?
Yes, a recommendation for a light rail bridge across the river.
But it will choose between the options? It
yes.
Will actually pick the one, say, this is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'd go ahead. No.
Just going to ask if there's anybody signed up to testify.
Steve, I just wanted to thank you for all your great work on this and all the other experience you have on the many projects that you have been involved with over the years is really bearing really good fruit on this, and thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody signed up to testify?
We have one person, Mary Williams.
Mark.
Oh, Mark. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks for being here today. Please state your name and you'll testify, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm Mark Williams from OHSU.
Mark.
It's Mark.
Oh.
Yes, I have no important announcements to make. here to support the resolution that's been presented before you today. I also wanted to thank Mr. Iwata, the staff of the city, and PDOT in particular have been very good about reaching out to us to talk with us as we go forward on this. OHSU is extremely supportive of light rail coming to the district. As you know, we have a about 12,000 employees altogether. About 11,000 of those employees are up on Markham Hill, 1,000 currently working every day at the waterfront, with many thousands more to come. In addition, in terms of total trip count, that first building on the waterfront is generating about 18,000 trips a week. So we've got a real chance, we think, to really kind of create another transportation hub for the city that's a little bit south of what's presently downtown, but will probably eventually be part of downtown. So for where we sit, we're very appreciative that the resolution includes language to evaluate the light rail transit design options so as to provide those connections with the aerial tram and the streetcar that are so vital to moving folks around down there. And I think we appreciate the interbureau collaboration that the resolution directs and look forward to working with everyone.
Thank you. That was it.
We have one more person, Bob Durgan.
Good afternoon. Please state your name when you speak, and you have 3 minutes.
It's Bob Durgan, Anderson Construction, representing ZRZ Realty, and we wholly support this plan. There's a little history that goes before Mark. When I started working for ZRZ and was on the Citizen Advisory Committee, I got a call from Matt Brown one day and said, we want to talk to you as we're finalizing this report. We need light rail in the district in order to get 30% trip modality into the district, and will Zidell support that? Asked around, heard the history of how it moved off and some other things, and so for a long time, that's the question we wanted answered, and we would like it to be answered sooner than later. One of the major reasons is this: we're in the middle of this DEQ cleanup. There's elevation changes, there are caps, there's whole other things, and 100 feet still doesn't get anything done and really has a lot of impact to construction. And that's my job, getting it for permit to construction, so I have to meet the real world of construction. And the sooner we understand the interstitial relationship between the streetcar, the street grid, and the elevations that district works on, then we can get our DEQ stuff, our riverbank stuff. It impacts the greenway, because if it comes over 10 feet higher or 10 feet lower, it's very critical for this district to get to the next steps, to have this thing defined sooner than later. And so not only do we support it, we've been asking for it, and we'd like it to happen faster if possible.
Thanks. Thank you. Is that it? Discussion?
Councillor Liberty.
Just an addendum, because there's a lot of focus on these very important institutions and the bridge itself and are linked to streetcar, but this is also, and I know, Commissioner Adams, you're interested in this neighborhood building, and the stops in Southeast Portland are going to be important to be planned properly and thoughtfully so that development occurs in a way that complements and implements goals you have for those neighborhoods, we all have for those cities, parts of those citizens who live in that part of the city. And I think it's easy to focus on the vehicle and the tracks and forget that the stations are perhaps the most important, whether on the South Waterfront or connecting to Oregon Health Science University or PSU. This is really at the core of community building as well, and I know that you have an interest in this that we share, and that will be part of this effort as well. Thank you for allowing me a little extra comment.
Thank you. Discussion.
Is it a resolution?
Yes, it's a vote. Okay. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I think one of the I'd like to thank OHSU and TriMet as partners in this, very important partners, in addition to PDOT and Metro. One of the challenges we have, just to preview for the council, is that we have to get the light rail bridge a certain amount of height over the center of the river. But at the same time, it's the least, or I think a lot of people's lowest preference, that you sort of viaduct it over South Waterfront. So if we want it as low to the ground in South Waterfront, but we can't go too steep on light rail, and we have to have it so high above the middle of the channel, this is going to be a technological challenge very, very significant technological challenge. But I think we're up to it, and the options that we've narrowed it down to, I think, now allow us to go to that next phase of figuring out what it's going to take. Aye.
Leonard?
It's pretty exciting to be able to vote for this, and I see daily, twice a day, the construction that's going on I-205 with the connection there, and that by itself has really created a vibrancy in the community out east. There's a lot of excitement in Lentz and the town center right now with, just as Councilor Liberty said, the stop that's going to occur there at 92nd and Foster is really generating a lot of activity in terms of how property is going to be utilized right in that area. So this of course, is a different line, but I expect the same kind of excitement to occur as work begins on that, and it's really humbling to be in a position to support this at this point, because this is going to be something that serves this region for centuries to come. I mean, it's going to be the infrastructure that allows Portland to become a better place than it is today. So I'm really pleased to support this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Metro and TriMet, OHSU, and City of Portland for all their work. This is, as Commissioner Lynn said, this is a momentous occasion, and I look forward to an even more momentous occasion when you come back to us with a locally preferred alternative. There definitely are some new dynamics on the scene, the South Waterfront campus. But I share the excitement of Councilor Liberty about revitalizing Milwaukee, inner southeast neighborhoods, as well as connecting important institutions of education and learning. Aye.
Potter.
And, of course, with a million more people moving into the region in the next 20 years, I think this will provide one more option for folks to get around that does not require igniting a gasoline engine. I vote aye. Please read the next item.
669, amend the intergovernmental grant agreement with TriMet for the city's financial contributions to fund the preliminary engineering, final design, and construction of the South Corridor project.
Anybody to speak to this issue?
It's a companion measure with the resolution.
Did you want to say anything, Steve?
I don't remember.
Okay. There was no formal presentation for this.
Okay. Was there a sign-up sheet?
I did not have one.
Is anybody here who wishes to speak to this issue? It's an emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Great.
We are a tad early on the other one, so we'll be back at 3:30.
Did you allow that? How is it that you didn't fill up every minute with somebody talking about something?
Because I figured I was learning.